every pitch.
Lazarowski, the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. His 11th strikeout of the afternoon.
Every trade.
So the Brewers are looking for a guy that can give them 160 to 180 innings. And no better guy to start it off than Jake Mizrahi.
Every moment that swings the game with Brewers insider Dominic Catronio on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
And you can hear him on Brewers Extra Innings and after most games throughout this season. All right, one down, 161 more to go. Dom Catronio, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys? Better after a win.
Fantastic. Always. What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday?
The pitching's really darn good, and I think there's easy to overreact to the White Sox lineup. It's a very inexperienced lineup, but Miz kind of calming the waters after the leadoff homer, the bullpen not playing any games, just getting right after it. I was really impressed with the pitching. The offense was kind of what I expected, you know, hit some timely homers, put the ball in play, draw some walks, and that's more of what we saw from last season.
Yeah, you kind of took the wind out of my sails there, but I was going to ask you, you know, 20 strikeouts for the entire staff, 14 runs, but as you mentioned, this is a White Sox team that is bad, will probably remain bad for some time, and so a fan's immediate reaction is to say, yes, but you're saying, hey, this is still a very good Brewers team, bad team we're playing notwithstanding.
Yeah, I've never understood the whole, oh, well, they did what they were supposed to against, you know, a lesser team. I've never understood that because they live in big houses, too, on the other side, right? I mean, it's just sort of a very unfair thing to call the White Sox, like, a bad team. But, like, yes, they're inexperienced, and they've got some pieces they're excited about. I don't think they're going to lose 100 games again this season. But the way I see it for the Brewers' performance, what is so important about it is that this bullpen didn't even use its main leverage arms, right? You know, you didn't even see – we saw Ashby, right? But we didn't see McGill. We didn't see Ribe. We didn't see Zerpa. And they still got the 20 strikeouts after Miz got 11. So what I'm excited about is the arms and the youth that they have in the starting rotation is complemented by experience and talent in their bullpen, which is kind of what we've seen for the Brewers since 2018.
So now I should be getting excited, I feel, Dom, for Game 2 with Chad Patrick on the hill. But we have this – very awkward, I think, off day on Friday, despite the fact that we could host a game if we really wanted to. I know baseball has a lot of things they're juggling. You know, they're trying, especially on the opening weekend. We got games on Wednesdays. We got games on Thursdays, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But does it just feel like it takes the wind out of the sails just a touch to then have suddenly no game the following day?
I hate it. I flat out hate it. I think it's a total whiff. I think it's awful. I think it's stupid. I hope Major League Baseball is listening. A team that has a roof should not have an off day after opening day. I don't think it's that hard to figure out. But the Brewers aren't the only ones dealing with this.
Right.
I'm sure the Toronto Blue Jays wanted to play yesterday, but they actually requested to move their game to tonight because they felt they would get better crowds. So if we're just moving games arbitrarily, why can't the Brewers just either play a four-game series against the White Sox or start their season on Friday? I just don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't mind if the league office calls me and explains why. I've been explained why by the Brewers of why they got this off day, and they told me to call the league office. So this is why we're at this point. I think it's stupid.
Should opening day be a national holiday, Dom?
100%. 100%. It needs to be a national holiday. If you're going to do it on Thursdays, then yeah, it needs to be a holiday. If I was commissioner, I'd make sure, you know, opening day was on a Friday, personally, and it's always on a Friday, and that's an easy way to figure out these rainout dates and everything like that. But the way I see it is that everyone's taking the sick day anyway. Everyone's taking a PTO day anyway. Just give them the day off and go enjoy a ball game.
Now, I will counter a little devil's advocate, Dom, because you were talking when we asked you this earlier this week about how Cincinnati does have it as sort of an unofficial city holiday. We did, though, see last night after the game, there was a lot of action in the immediate area around the stadium. Now, not all of it was connected to necessarily the Reds in particular, but you do have to think that it does pertain a lot with where stadiums are located, how easy it is to access them, and how well things are taken care of afterwards. So if you are to make it a holiday, which I don't totally disagree with, you got to make sure you do it well, because we already have it pretty good right now. It's already around here, as we talked about yesterday and the day before, it feels very much already like it's a pseudo holiday anyway.
Yeah, you look at the tailgate scene, you know, in the words of Brian Anderson, it's always epic. The way that I see the fan base churn out for these days is so much fun. And I think it's really important that the Brewers are an organization that they, as a club, actually request to end the season at home. But I think it's really fun because you have the roof to start the season at home. Now, I'm fine with starting and ending at home, but that's kind of a competitive advantage, if you will. But, hey, they built the roof. So the way I see it for the activity and everything around this ballpark, I just love to see the, you know, the traditions keep coming out every single year, regardless of what happens with a proposed ballpark district or maybe trying to tweak some things around the ballpark, whatever that may happen. Tailgating is not going anywhere.
How is Jackson Churio right now? I know that he has a hairline fracture on his hand, but I mean, I heard what Pat Murphy was saying, and I kind of understand why he's still going to be gone for at least into next month, because if he hurts it anymore, it could be something more serious.
Yeah, exactly. And with Jackson, this was an injury that he suffered actually at the beginning of the month in the World Baseball Classic exhibition game. So it's always been sort of a hot topic where it's like, oh, your player could get hurt. And then whenever a player gets hurt in a World Baseball Classic setting, people freak out. But he could have been hit by a pitch in spring training, and everyone would be thinking, oh, my goodness, they got to cancel spring training. Nobody would ever say that. So it's an unfortunate thing that happened. It happened. Thank goodness they caught it, and they were able to make a roster move to do so. They're expecting 2 to 4 weeks for him. The good news is, you know, he's been, you know, healing for 3 weeks. He's already in a soft cast, and because it's a hairline fracture, you would hope that he's able to play through a little bit of pain toward the tail end of this of the healing, and then he'll be back to his normal self.
Before we let you go, Dom, the Churio news wasn't the only opening day news we heard. So Brewers owner Mark Annanasio did his opening day Q&A with the media, and he was asked about the TV rights deal and shared that under the new model, the team has actually lost double-digit multi-millions of dollars to $20 million. Calling it a surprise, I'll play the clip here.
We have a very strong financial position, and so when surprises come up like that, and that was about a $20 million surprise, you know, it does not affect how we, you know, plan for the offseason.
And is the $20 million, is that how much less revenue you're anticipating?
Yeah.
Initial response, wow. Dom, big deal, not a big deal in your eyes?
It's a bit of both, because I asked Mark about this during spring training when he had his address with the smaller formation of media, the beat writers, and they knew they were going to take a loss, and they knew they had to budget for taking a loss going into this switch to the MLB model. Now they got the numbers being $20 million, and again, this is the imbalance of power in baseball. The Dodgers get $325 million a year from Time Warner Cable in order to get their television rights deal. The Brewers are actively losing money on their television rights deal. So that's something that's going to be a big topic heading into this offseason with the new collective bargaining agreement. But the Brewers are a savvy organization. They had a rainy day fund ready to go to be able to absorb this. But hopefully in the future, Major League Baseball is able to change this to say this can't be a balance and an advantage for one team to make literally quadruple, quintuple, whatever number it is, times 30 of what the Brewers are making in television revenue.
He is your Brewers insider and host of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Cotroneo. Dom, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.